As always, it's good to be assembled in the house of the Lord, and appreciate being here and thankful to God for that. We heard a lot this morning about the fact that God is in control and that one must not look to men for their help. Went yesterday to Lowe's to buy a pipe to go on a dishwasher I was replacing for my daughter, and for whatever reason the clerk asked me if I watched the speech Thursday night. Personally, I'd rather watch grass grow. But for whatever reason, he continued on till people came behind, checked out, and left, and I'm still standing there. Showed me the thing dangling on his neck. I'm a Christian. That's good. Then he went on to tell me, and he's already talked in glowing terms about the speech and the one that made it. And he went on to tell me that the church that he'd been going to, he was the song leader, choir leader. The pastor came up and told him, don't sing any songs with the name of Christ in it. And I'm not going to tell you the name of this place, but the name of Christ is in the name of the church. Now, that's where we are in America today. You can have a man that's excited about what I think is the outscourings of the earth. And also, he has at least had the presence of mind to leave a place that you can't even sing a song with the name of Christ in it. And the pastor went on to tell him that Christ's not coming back. Well, I want to assure you that he is. I asked the question, why would you go to church? Why would you bother? Why would you even roll out of bed to go someplace that doesn't believe that Christ is coming back? Where's your hope? Heard this morning about the turmoil in the world. And I'm going to do this backwards from what I thought about coming down the road. A scripture came to mind when I was talking to my God about the meeting today. And one text is from one of the brothers this morning, at least same chapter. We seem to think, and you've heard this, you seem to think that we've got it bad. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that you heard some of this morning, but verse 17 said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If we were to take that to heart, blessed with the Spirit of God, we'd be able to say, as you've heard over and over and over here today, God is in control. What you see out here will fall away, pass away, be gone. But those things which we have in here, those things which are of God are eternal and they shall never end. It is a light affliction here. I tried to put it in perspective and my mind will not go that far. But I think about no matter how long this life is, It is but like this compared to an eternity. It's like a watch in the night. And yet we're going around talking about, I've got this pain and I've got this, that, and the other, like it's the end of the world. But at the same time, it's just a watch in the night. And I'm not mocking pain. I've had some and I didn't like it. None of us do. But the point is that this too shall pass. Every once in a while we get together and we talk about some old brother or sister that just was ushered on up to heaven and in glory. And we talk about, oh, how much better they are now. Well, brethren, that's where we're going to be. Sooner or later we're going. Yeah, and I know that the Lord might come back, but you still go. The old sleeping dust is going to rise. This old, weak, sinful body is going to be full of strength and power. And righteousness, by the way. Oh, not because I've done anything. Not because I have any ability. But simply because my God loved me. We heard some about the 8th chapter of Romans today. The 18th verse said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared." And I know that we can make an hour or more out of these texts. I understand that. But in the interest of time, let's go where it really counts. Let's go where we can go to make absolutely certain that we can put all these things aside because there's one that paid the price. 19th chapter of John, verse 5. "Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man." I say to you this afternoon, in all power and authority of the Word of God, that we can have all these afflictions, we can have all these pains, and we can have all these fears, and we can do all these things. But I want you to know that the Scripture says, "Behold the man." I want you this afternoon, if you can, to behold the man. I want you to behold him in the Garden of Gethsemane as he knelt and prayed and sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. I want you to behold the man. I want you to behold the man when they came to capture him and take him. And he just spoke the word, "I am he," and they fell backwards. I want you to behold a man that had the power to cause sin to fall back. I want you to know that the Son of God had all kind of power. I also want you to know that that man said, "I have the power to call my Father," and he would send above 12 legions of angels, 60,000 or so. One angel can kill an entire army in one night. And yet my God said, "I could call my Father," and he would send them. I want you to behold the man when he was lifted up. Utter not a word. But this is the same man that went into that garden and prayed, but he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." I want you to behold a man as he hung between the heaven and the earth. I want you to see in your spiritual eye the blood coming from the head, from the crown of thorns. I want you to see the blood running down from the back, from the scourging. The blood from the hands that were pierced. The feet that were pierced. And then the side. I want you to see Him in all His Shekinah glory, hanging there between the heaven and the earth. And I want you to hear what He said. "My God said, it is finished." He said, "It's finished." And yet we got multitudes, millions of people that's going around the country and on the TV and everything trying to say, You've got to do this plus. This has to be done. I want you to know the finished work has already been done. There is nothing left to do in order to. There's plenty to do because of. You heard this morning we come to worship Him, to praise His great and holy name. Oh, I want you to know that I beg my God for a mind and a voice and a heart to praise Him in a more perfect way. I am an imperfect creature, a creature of habit. We talk about the brethren from eons ago. Mostly I look at them with awe. Way back in those days, as hard as they had to work, like you heard Brother Stanley talking about his father, 50 or 60 years in a coal mine, they still yet seemingly knew more than we do today. My dad, it went to the third grade. Sometime, most time, appeared to know more than I did. They had more zeal than most. They had more love than most. But the question has forever been asked. The question is, what think you of Christ? I want you to know the answer to that question. It tells all that will ever be need to told about your standing with my God. It's just not some figure written in the Bible. You've heard this morning, you can actually know Christ. No. You can actually know Him. You can actually understand just a little of what He came for. Just a little of what He said. You can actually know that you're His. You can actually know that He's your elder brother. That you're an heir and joint heirs with Him. In Christ, He's your elder brother. God is your Father. And yet we say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not. Brethren, you will make it one way or the other. It might not be pretty, it might not be painless, but you will make it one way or the other. And the Scripture says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory. Oh, can you think about that? Poor, weak, and worthless worms like we are going to have glory. Righteous robe of white. Pure linen. The bride of Christ, perfect and pure and undefiled. You might say, oh, it can't be me. Oh, brethren, it is. Not because you lived that way, not because you were born that way, as you heard this morning, because you have inherited from your parents. And it wasn't just a bite of a little fruit. It was pure rebellion, which is where we are today. This nation has rebelled. This nation, if it doesn't change, will fall. There's no question about it. If the world stands long enough, we're in rebellion. Israel, how many times were they told? How many opportunities to change did they have? They ignored God. Oh, Joshua went there that one time and he says, choose you this day who you will serve, but it's me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Things were great for a while. I think it was Joshua that things were fine in his day and so many years after. But it still falls. What are we told about ourselves? We're just as liable to sin as sparks are to fly upward. You can't change your spots. You can't do it. But brethren, I can tell you about the one that can. I can tell you about the one that said, behold the man. That is the man. That is the man, Christ Jesus. Verily God and verily man. Left the high chimes of glory to come to this low ground of sin and sorrow for folk like you and I. Think about it. We wouldn't want to leave this country to go to some third or fourth world country. Although I got a niece that voluntarily went to Africa for a year's school. Had to dig ditches and put branches over them, and that was their facility. Not many would do that. Not many would do it and stay. But yet Jesus left heaven in immortal glory where he was loved of the Father, worshipped of angels. He left that to come down here. And there was no room for him then, and there still isn't. You can read Isaiah 53. You can read Isaiah 61. You can read all of them. And it just doesn't make any sense how that to us that God would do that. That he would send Christ on that mission. Yet at the same time we're told that he loved us with an everlasting love. He said, behold a man. That's the man Christ Jesus over there. What did John say? Behold the Lamb of God, he taketh away the sin of the world. What did they say in the book of Revelation when they was looking for one to open the seals? He said, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue or people. Thou wast slain. It's past tense, by the way. People look at the book of Revelation and they try to figure out how is this going to happen? How is that going to happen? Most of it's already happened. Thou wast slain. He's already been slain.
Amen.
And he is not going to suffer again. Oh, no. Pastor of that so-called church says that Christ is not coming back. Where would your hope be? If he's not coming back, where would you be? Yet we read that our Master said it was a joy set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of the Father on high. I want you, again, to behold him in all his pain and agony and misery, but I want you to behold him also seated at the right hand of power on high. I want you to see him, behold him if you can in your spiritual eye when Stephen was stoned to death and the Lord was standing, I believe, to receive that spirit of Stephen. He seated at the right hand of God, but Stephen said, behold, I see the heavens open and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, I want you to know, brethren, when it comes time to usher out of this life into that next world, if you can see heaven open and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, all is well. All is well. Oh, no matter what happens in this life, it'll be gone by and by. And for most of us, it's not near as long as it used to be. Not near as long as it used to be. That doesn't faze me one iota.
Near now.
My wife and children sometimes they look at me like I got three heads when I tell them, oh, won't it be sweet? Won't it be sweet to be taken up into the clouds of heaven and to be with the Lord forever and ever? Oh, how sweet to die. Oh, okay, all right, I don't want to do it right now. Calm down. But it would be good. Dying for a Christian is not bad. It's going home day. It's bad for those that they leave behind, but it is not bad for the one that goes. Brother Gary mentioned that he went to see Brother Tolliver yesterday or recently, and he didn't know him and he didn't know his wife. I've been there. I've been to visit my dad and he didn't have a clue who I was. And people say, oh, he's in such bad shape. Brethren, he don't have a care in the world.
Amen.
He don't have a care in the world. Everything is brought and delivered to him. Everything is done for him. Everybody treats him with kindness. He don't have a care in the world, and he wouldn't know it if he was bankrupt. He wouldn't know it. He's fine. People gather round about and feel sorry for him. No, feel sorry for the ones round about. He is oblivious to what we're talking about, the light afflictions of this world. It's gone. It's over. He's just closer to the going home than we are. If we can sing a song, "My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine." Oh, how sweet it is. You're singing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and saved a wretch like me." Brethren, it is an amazing grace that God would send Christ from the high chimes of glory, where that we could come down here and they could say, "Behold the man." Even Pilate didn't want to put him to death. You heard this morning that they took Barabbas instead of Christ. That's not my name, but it's close enough to make me think about it.
Amen.
Oh, I want you to know that I was set free and my master was put up on the cool cross of the tree. I want you to behold him up there. But as you behold him up there, you won't see any complaining. You will hear, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You're hearing praying as in the 17th chapter of John. "Father, keep them. I kept them while I was here. Keep them." Oh, praise His holy name. How Jesus loved us with such love that He suffered, bled, and died. And not only that, as much as that is, He was humiliated, He was mocked, He was scourged, He was abandoned. And then crucified Him. He didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. Put a crown of thorns on His head and a purple robe and a staff in His hand and bowed down to Him. I want you to know they are going to bow down to Him in yonder's world. They're going to bow. I thank my God that I bowed on this side.
Every knee shall bow.
Every knee. Every knee. He'll call for the rocks and the mountains to cover them. Oh, brethren, I want you to know that is useless. If every mountain in the entire world fell on you, it would not hide you from the face of God. Jonah went down into the valleys as deep as he could go. But he was not hid from God. He was still suffering and still persecuted. He said, "I'll pay that which I have avowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Brethren, salvation is of the Lord. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling, and I thank
You. Let's see the third verse of 154.
Through many dangers,
nearer than when we first begun.
God bless you, brother.
That's a verse in the song.